Yeah, welcome to the 20th of January council meeting. Hopefully, just a wait. I just to explain that I'm opening the meeting because the mayor is a late apology, unfortunately. And just explaining to you, ordinarily, the deputy mayor would sit in to preside over the meeting, but the deputy will expire yesterday. What we're looking at is calling for a chair for this evening's meeting. So I'm looking to elect members. Any other names for them? Well, good. Being that, could I take the leave of the meeting to appoint Councillor Hoon as temporary chair? Well, good. That's unanimous. Over to you, Councillor.
Thank you, members. Thank you, members, for showing confidence in me to handle this meeting. I've done a partial one before, so please bear with me if I'm open to advice. So I'll start with the opening statement. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional land of Perameek and Dharma people. We pay our respects to ancestors and elders past and present, and to the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land. Together, we will care for this place for the generations to come, and in this context, the decisions we make should be guided by the principle that nothing we do would decrease our children's ability to live in this land. Well, apologies, leave of absence, apologies. Mayor Dan Clare Wisdom, Councillor Nathan Daniel, and Councillor Adrian Cheetah, and Councillor Kirsten Park. That's nice.
Councillor, look, I'm not sure if this is the right place, but I'd like to seek your permission for the personal explanation.
I'll deal with that in a moment, but I'll make some notes.
Okay, sure.
So we've had the apologies and 3.2 leave of absence. Councillor Pasquale from the 10th of December to the 31st of January was approved by Council on the 10th of December. Yes, so you know, I've got a different agenda than one I've read. Moving on then.
I haven't scrolled down.
I have, but I can't see what's going on, but I assume I'm reading, but
yeah.
There's been a request for leave of absence from Councillor Melanie Selwood from the 9th of February to the 14th of February. Deal with that one first. Someone like to move that be accepted. Approved. Thank you, Councillor Nudge and Councillor Brown. All those in favour, please go. That is carried unanimously. Second one is Councillor Pauline Gill has applied for leave of absence from the 14th of February to the 25th of February this year. Someone like to move that? Councillor Hunkster. Seconded Councillor Grant. All those in favour, please show. Councillor Gordon, are you? I think that's carried unanimously. No absences. Now, Councillor Murphy.
You've got one more count.
Yeah, I'm still, well, here's my of that one. So we're up to the minutes of the previous meeting.
No, we've got one more.
Oh, okay. I hope we have a forum in February. Councillor Huckster has applied to leave from the 24th of February to the 27th of February. I'd like to move that be approved. Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Councillor Selwood, the second. All those in favour, please show. Carried unanimously. Next. No,
wait a minute.
Minutes of the previous meeting held on the 10th of December have been circulated to you for consideration. Someone would like to move those as a true and accurate record. Councillor Gill and Councillor Selwyn. No comments. If not, all those in favour, please show. It's carried unanimously. I have had an approach from Councillor Nudge to make a personal explanation when I seek leave of the meeting that can do that. Councillor Gill and Councillor Selwood, all those in favour, please show.
Just leave.
Thank you. Councillor Nudge.
Thank you, President Miller. I would like to take this opportunity to provide a personal explanation regarding my comments during the council meeting on the 9th of April 2024. Mm-hmm. At that meeting, I referred to a deputation by a member of the public from the previous meeting as unhinged. Upon careful reflection, I recognised that my choice of words was inappropriate and I deeply regret making such remarks. As a councillor, I understand the importance of maintaining my standards of professionalism and respecting all my interactions, especially in public settings. I fully acknowledge that my comments did not meet those standards, nor did it reflect the respect that the deputation or any individual deserves when engaging with its council. The remark was made in heat of the moment and failed to adequately reflect on the impact my words might have had. It was not a reflection of the value I place on open dialogue and differing viewpoints. I know that as councillors, we must listen attentively to all voices in our community and engage with them thoughtfully and respectfully, even if ultimately we disagree. I sincerely apologise to both the individual who made the deputation and to my fellow councillors for this lapse of judgment. I am committed to ensuring that such an incident does not occur again and to upholding the standards of conduct expected of a councillor. I value the work we do together and will strive to contribute to a more respectful and productive environment moving forward. Thank you for your understanding, and I would seek leave or remove that my remarks be included in the minutes.
Thank you, Councillor March. May I second that, Councillor Floyd? And second that, nothing can need any debate on it. Councillor Mudge, thank you for that explanation. That will be recorded.
Councillor Mudge, I accept your apology. I'm just accepting his apology.
Please do not interject from the gallery. So, all those in favour, please show. That's carried in there. Declaration of interest by members. Does any member wish to indicate that they have a conflict of interest in any of the articles for us tonight? Councillor Foster.
Thank you. I have a material conflict of interest in relation to item 12.6, nominations for the Libraries Board of South Australia. A material conflict of interest arises as a result that it carries a modest sitting fee. I'll be leaving the room once I nominate.
Thank you. Any further conflicts of interest? If not, we'll deal with that at 5 on 12.6.
Thank you.
Moving on to deciding members' opening remarks. Actually, I don't have too many tonight. I would just like to welcome Jason Goodell here tonight. We were very comfortable with him by my side. The executive manager of governance and planning, more than expected, later. And Councillor Daniel, who's not here tonight, because he has a child born on Sunday, so he's where he ought to be with his family. Just my observations as a member rather than a presiding member. Two down under from the northern end seemed to go very smoothly. Now I attended the Gumaraka one, and there was a good crowd there, and the caterers, principally the Lions Club, and the Gumaraka Community Association made good money. And they attributed that because the box went through, I think, three times, and people hung around, as it were. They didn't just watch them go. So I urge CEO, if you're negotiating with the BDU people, if you organise that at least two passes through the town, That does hurt the same people and it benefits local community. There are no questions adjourned or lying on the table, no questions adjourned, no petitions, deputations. We do have a public forum. Is there anyone in the public forum who would like to speak tonight? Yes. Anyone else besides Mr. Tate? No, I'm getting off. So, Mr. Tate, would you like to come forward? Push the red button when you're ready to speak.
Thank you.
And we have a maximum of 10 minutes so there is no other person wishing to speak in the public forum. But just please, for the record, state your name and address.
Yes, John Tate from Birdwood, 55 Philadelphia Street.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'll only need a couple of minutes, actually. I've got a prepared statement to the CEO, Mr. Greg Georgopoulos, Chief Executive Officer. Dear sir, my apologies.
Sorry.
Sharon's feeling so
as always.
Sorry about interrupting.
Okay. It's heading celebrating our great sovereign nation, Australia. Last year, this year, your council refused to celebrate Australia Day. Your council moved the date last year from the 26th day of January 2024 to the 28th day of January 24. This year you moved the date to the 24th of January 25. Your reply to my letter dated the 30th of December 24 under signature of Jess Charlton, dated the 28th of January 24, refused to answer my questions about celebrating Australia Day. The last paragraph says, and I quote, ceremonies plan remain a meaningful and inclusive celebration. Well, I will tell you what makes our sovereign nation great and what is inclusive. It means our First Nations people, means our first settlers, all of our ancestors to all people who live and alive today, all of us sitting in this parliament that have been here today, from a multitude of countries that come from 194 nations in the world, and also I say to every refugee who has fled their homeland to the land of the free Australian. A two-page letter from our council action groups under my signature is in the post of your council, and we are actually demanding that you answer all of the questions so that we in turn can advise all of the residents in the Adelaide Hills ratepayers of your reply. Because I end on this point, inclusive means black, white and brindle of race, colour and creed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tate. And just like to say that see if there are any questions around the table, Mr. Tate. No questions, but perhaps I'll just not have one to see that. The letter's in the mail.
Yes, I read it as a post today. 15 copies.
Where we went 15 copies. So they're coming to the CEO, that letter.
Yes.
The CEO just asked two questions. One, when they arrived, we distributed the letter to the Ross Lenton body. And looking for a reply to that.
Yes, definitely, in writing.
Yes, CEO even wants to write a response in writing to that. Okay, so the CEO has undertaken to do that for you today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming over.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Present communication is the new one. There are no questions on notice. There's a motion on notice. International Wednesday 2025, Councillor Anna Costas.
Thank you, Acting Presiding Member. Members, I move the recommendations printed. And I thank the report's author, Ms. Charlton, for her response as contained in your agenda. I appreciate your time and advice in relation to this motion. Members, this is a follow on from the initiative that this council saw fit to take last year, which was very well received, thanks to the information we received back from our CEO at the time. International Women's Day is marked globally on March the 8th each year. But while the existence of International Women's Day predates the establishment of the United Nations observes certain designated days to promote awareness and action on a range of issues, International Women's Day just being one. International Women's Day is observed by the UN and marked each year with a theme to highlight priorities of the Commission on the Status of Women, an intergovernmental body dedicated to the promotion of gender equality and the empowerment of women. The United Nations theme for International Women's Day this year is March 4. This theme is aimed at commemorating the 30-year anniversary of the United Nations Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action, while acknowledging that many of those promises remain largely unfulfilled for millions of women around the world. Unfortunately, the key message for United Nations Women's Australia is that it is time to turn promises into progress and to march forward for gender, for a gender equal future. Members, I commend the motion to the chamber.
So you're wearing as printed on the stream?
Yes.
Thank you. Senator, it's Councillor Hartford. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
No, I don't think I need to speak on that. Just want to ask Councillor Stockwell this motion again this year. I think it's very important.
Do you anyone wish to enter the debate? Councillor Hill.
Thank you, Councillor Herron, through you. I'll actually not be voting for this motion. For a couple of reasons. One is that the United Nations have actually failed women around the world, particularly in second and third world countries. And I think they just focus on first world countries, and even in first world countries, they have failed to actually get gender equality in 30 years. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't try and push forward, but I think it's just a token gesture to have an International Women's Day to say how great we're doing when we actually aren't. Second of all, my experience of the councillor moving this motion is that he actually does not respect women.
Point of order.
It is my opinion and my
experience. Point of order.
Councillor Bill, point of order has been raised.
Pursuant to, I find Councillor Gill's comments to be highly disrespectful and in breach of section 75E. The behavioural standards for council members. And I'll quote the specific behavioural standards that Councillor Gill has just breached. Uh, 1.4, act in a reasonable, just, respectful, and non-discriminatory way. 1.5, when making public comments, including comments to the media on council decisions and council matters, show respect for others when clearly indicate their views are personal and not those of the council. 2.5, act in a manner consistent with their roles as defined in section 59. One of the key roles of section 59 is act with integrity. I find that the comments made by Councillor Gill lack integrity. 3.1, establish and maintain relationships of respect, trust, collaboration and cooperation with all council members. Clearly, on any reasonable assessment of Councillor Gill's statement, she has failed that behavioural standard. I find Councillor Gill's comments to constitute bullying. Item 3.2, not to bully other council members.
Really?
That is my point of order.
Thank you. Councillor Gill, you may continue, but please make the motion. So I'm holding a point of order that you may continue debating the money and not draw anything. The councillor opposite of the debate.
Sorry, just on a clarification, you are upholding the point of order.
So far as it relates to debating the motion, so councillor Gill, thank you for raising that point. So councillor Gill, you've had the floor, and please find to name your comments to the motion.
Well, I will close my debate.
Thank you. Now, is there any further debate? Councillor, no, I'll close the debate. And it's Councillor Osterstock and Councillor Huxton have moved the second debate. Now, before I go, you have a rather quiet Councillor Osterstock, apart from Councillor Gill, and seems to be supporting each other.
Thank you. I don't intend to dignify Councillor Gill's comment.
That will do. Thank you, Councillor Osterstock. So all those in favour, please indicate. It is carried.
Formal division.
I can put this set aside that ruling and ask those that are in favour of the motion, please stand. In favour, Councillor Boyd, Silver and Grant, Huxter, Nutt and Osterstock. And against the bill, motion carried. Moving on, 11.2. Now, Councillor Daniel is absent, but he did phone me and asked if I would move, and I can move the motion. Move that motion because I. Did you want to?
No, yeah, it was just really about that I wanted to. It says Councillor Selwood. Sorry.
Yes.
It says Councillor Selwood twice. One of them should be around. Sorry.
Councillor Daniel referred me just before the meeting. He wasn't going to be here. They asked I would take carriage of explanation. And I'm happy to do that. At the meeting on the 10th, I think we had other important business to attend to in another place at Sewell, and we didn't have the opportunity to, after the presentation, we didn't have the opportunity to consider moving the motion. I spoke to Councillor Bennell, I had a discussion after that, how we further the, we do enough to further the people that we needed to take some action, and Councillor Daniel prepared that motion in front. What it does, of course, for a report, the presentations in the attachment, so you can see there are a number of issues that, need to be addressed. The status of land, community land, are there leases, a number of issues which have to be addressed in the report. But what I didn't ask the administration was the, can the administration CEO provide a report, the possibility of a workshop before the vote in February? Means the band is played on about 4 minutes. So the administration voted on the 25th, and we designed the whole workshop prior to. So I'll move that with the amendment to 25th February, and the CEO has assured me that. That will give them time to prepare a report and to hold a workshop, because there are a number of issues I think all that can stand around the debate and might have a view on before it actually gets to the chamber for a decision. So I move that one, and it is for a board only, and the CEO has expired that 12 days in the day. Councillor Bullock, thank you for seconding. Do you wish to speak?
No, no.
Councillor Selwood.
I just have a question through the chair of the administration around that change in the date and whether there were any restrictions on SOPI and their funding in terms of making sure it happened by a certain date.
Yeah. Look, I'll just have a quick comment on that and then I'll pass to the administrator. I did bring Mary. Their busy season is firstly over in the summer. They go into a quieter season in the winter. If you believe animals are not breeding in the winter, it tends to pick up again in October in the warmer months when young and hatched or born. So I believe it would be okay. So, Mr. Wallace, you want to
Thank you, through you, presiding member. I believe it would be okay as well. It's council's role with that's where it's been. It is by the 25th, and we'll make it for tomorrow. If there's something drastic, we'll bring it to the February meeting. It's really just about finding a window for a half hour workshop. I think the members, because I've come over and discussed it with a few, and there's some more questions that people think that we can flesh out.
Thank you, Mr. Waters. Now, any questions? Councillor Grant?
Can I debate the motion?
Yes.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I won't support this motion, and it's a bit of a hard one because obviously this is a feel-good thing and it's only a report. But in Labor government, these things gain momentum. I have no issue with wildlife rescue. In fact, I was founding president of the Warrnambool Wildlife Rescue Group, and I presided over that for about 5 years. For local government, this is a bit trickier. There's a number of wildlife rescue groups that have come to us for support. This group proposed aviaries for preparation of possums and koalas for release. Koalas are already overabundant. There's no conservation gain in saving koalas, sadly, and I love koalas. There's already talk of expansion on this site. It would be a slippery slope once we allowed a group to use public land for this sort of a facility. And when the next group comes and says, oh, we want to put some aviaries as well, how do we deal with that? It's just one of those things that would be a bit of a snowball. And maybe the most humane thing is simply to say no now. There are plenty of people with a half-acre block involved with these groups who could put aviaries on their land and probably serve exactly the same thing. But I just don't feel this is the right way to go for public land because it would get out. Yeah, it would incrementally get bigger. And they've already said they wanted to have an education centre and things. Well, where would we stop it? So I won't support this. I certainly see the goodwill that comes from this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Grant. Councillor Tilwood.
Thank you. Yes, I wasn't going to speak to this motion, but having heard Councillor Grant's comments, I think they're all very valid and I think they're things that we need to consider. But I do think I'll still be supporting the motion because I think that's an opportunity to tease things out. I do think we need to consider potential expansions and whether there's alternative sites that are more suitable and all those things. But I do think the workshop will give us the opportunity to do that. So thank you for your comments because I have thought we think about it a bit more clearly, but I will be supporting the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Lunch.
Thank you, President. I will support this motion. I think it's a good one. And unfortunately, we didn't have an opportunity to move something like this at our last meeting. I think it's definitely worthy of consideration. I just will make one comment. One thing I would like to see considered, I suspect it's not possible, is whether this particular property could be used for housing under the middle of the housing crisis. And when I last looked at this property, it was totally vacant, but it looks like a perfectly good residence or something could live in. And my concern is, residences like that are standing vacant for extended periods of time and you have people who are having trouble using this. So I think it would be nice to see it. That possibility examined as part of the whole gamut of opportunities for this particular property. Thank you.
Just a question, CEO, with the wildlife group are looking at, say, the vacant land, would you include the future of the cows in your report?
Yes, through you, so remember we need to put in some options for this site and put out the next constraints. So if it is open.
Just perhaps if I could respond to Councillor Grant. It is community lean, and there are a number of hurdles to jump over before you can do anything for community lean. So, from memory, there has to be some public health if we choose to go ahead. But I think we should make that decision after we've had a chat, had a workshop, and then whatever comes out of that can go to the council. So, appreciate the comments, sir, and I'm glad you're open the moment that council do it.
I'm just a question first for the administration through you. Is there any policy that we have that actually deals with these sorts of requests?
So,
yeah, the pretty good design. And that's a good question. I hope you have to take that on notice. Thank you.
I'll enter the debate.
Yes.
Through you, Chair. I'm supporting Councillor Grant's debate on this. I find it very difficult when we're just making up the vision of the loan policy in a way to make sure that we're being consistent. And I think Councillor Grant is completely correct that if we start sort of with this one, then what do we have around the next one? We've got no policy to sort of stand on to make sure we're treating everyone equally and equitably. So I won't be supporting this motion for those reasons.
I think those are the issues that you can really flesh out at the workshop. As I agree, just because Group A comes in first, should they get first, they're without looking at the bigger picture. So,
yeah,
comment.
I probably won't be here for the workshop.
You can always appear on one.
Difference between America's time and ours is a long time.
Right. Now, any further debate? Not the debate is closed. Rather than follow, I probably had my rather if I were asking some questions during the debate. So if that's anything further to say, there'll be a report and there will be a workshop prior to the debate. Okay. All those in favour, please indicate. 3, 4. Yeah. Against? 3. So it is carried.
All opinion.
Didn't need to talk for, I set aside my ruling. Ask those in vote, please stand. Those in vote, Councillor Boyd, Cyril, Mudge, and Osterstoff. Those against, Councillor McGill, Grant, and Council. Motion carried. Now, 11.3. Practice for the council meeting and procedures. That's Councillor Osterholm.
Thank you. Members, the motion that I propose has been circulated, and I move the recommendation as printed. Members, as I stated in my background in respect of Mayor's opening remarks, the current policy position regarding the Mayor's opening remarks requires, in my opinion, clarity to prevent this agenda item being used for a purpose other than what it has been or indeed is intended. But the statement is not intended to be a criticism of how this agenda item has been utilised in the past. Quite simply, technically, in my view, Clause 3.8.1 provides the Mayor with the scope to make personal statements or raise matters of urgency. This, quite clearly, is not what the agenda item is intended for. Given the making of personal statements and the raising of matters of urgency are legislatively provided for pursuant to the provisions of Section 15 of the Local Government Procedures Meeting Regulations 2013, and clause 4.6 of this policy. Now, clause 4.6 of the current policy position regarding agenda addresses by members requires, in my opinion, clarity also to prevent this agenda item being used for a purpose or purposes other than what it was intended. The wording of the current policy position, and I quote, explanation should not A, make imputations of improper motives or contain private opinions on fellow council members, the administration or members of the public, will be used for making statements regarding council resolutions. It does not prevent a member making either directly or indirectly imputations of improper motives or contain personal opinions on fellow council members, the administration or members of the public, will be used for making statements regarding council resolutions. The purpose of amending 4.6 is to remove the words should not, which in my view provides the member with a discretion, and make it crystal clear and unambiguous that such contributions by members will not be permitted by this council. I turn to the analysis as provided by the administration in support of this amendment, and I thank the author of the report. The proposed amendments to the Code of Practice for Meeting Procedures aim to enhance clarity and consistency in the application of meeting procedures. Specifically, Mayor's opening remarks, the amendments refine the scope of the Mayor's opening remarks to ensure that they are limited to meeting conduct and significant civic or cultural events. This change eliminates ambiguity and reinforces the intent of this agenda item, clarifying that personal explanations or urgent matters should be raised in accordance with Regulation 15 of the regulations. Addresses by members, clause 4.6, the proposed changes clarify the conditions under which personal explanations can be made by members, ensuring these explanations remain professional and focused by removing discretionary language should not and replacing it with definitive wording will not. The amendments provide a stronger safeguard against improper use. Members, I move the recommendation as printed. The recommendation is self-explanatory.
Thank you, Councillor Stark. Councillor Hewitt. Second.
Just a question.
Question. Thank you. Question.
Welcome to the administration through you. I don't know the Local Government Act backwards and forwards like my learned colleague at the top chamber there. So I'd like to know from the administration what exactly are the Mayor's remarks in the agenda meant for, the opening remarks?
So through the Chair, that is actually a discretionary provision that your council has chosen to include in its code of practice. So effectively, it is what you as a governing body wish that to represent. The way it reads at the moment is effectively that it is about the opening remarks for the meeting itself. There are different portions of the council meeting agenda where reports from members, including the Mayor, can be provided rather than in the opening remarks, and is something that's separate and distinct from those reports. And so, and in effect then, in terms of your question around what these amendments propose, again, because it's a discretionary matter, it's for you as a governing body to determine what the use of that portion of the agenda will be.
Just a supplementary question to that then. Do we actually have to have opening Mayor's remarks? Can we just delete them from our agendas?
Absolutely. And I can say that there are not many councils that have that as an agenda item. So it is something that you can choose to remove from your agenda. Thank you.
Please, any further questions before we go to the debate? Councillor Sorley.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I have some questions that I did ask the administration prior, but I wouldn't mind having said more publicly. So Regulation 15, as shown in our agenda, implies that the personal explanation must be relevant to the subject matter of the debate. So in that case, where would someone be able to make a personal explanation if we're not currently debating something that
is relevant to the person they've commissioned.
So through the chair. And so I guess so tonight's meeting is a good example in terms of at any time during council meeting an elected member can make a request to be granted leave to make a personal explanation. Some councils are very restrictive around where that can occur in terms of the item for business that is before the council. If there is no specific item in relation to that personal explanation that appears on the agenda, then just as occurred tonight, it can occur at a natural point or a natural break in the meeting. Some councils choose to do that as at the start of the meeting, which your council has done in the past. Some choose to leave it till the end of the meeting. Unfortunately, again, when you look at that from a transparency and openness perspective, sometimes if you do it after the confidential items, then you might not have a gallery. And so that's why some councils choose to do it in the front in terms of those personal explanations. Otherwise, if there is a specific agenda item, so, you know, if there was a report coming to the council in relation to a particular matter that a member might be involved in, bearing in mind the application of the conflict of interest provisions, which might also impact when they might be able to make a personal explanation, if there was a particular item that they were speaking to, you would do it at the item. Otherwise, it's where you, again, on a discretionary basis, feels like it fits naturally in the course of your meeting.
Further question?
My other question. Councillor Osterstock's proposal includes a change as follows. The explanation will not, under any circumstances, either directly or indirectly make imputations or improper motives or conduct or contain personal opinions on fellow council members, the administration or members of the public, or be used for making statements regarding council resolutions, except where the personal explanation is the satisfied clause B above. Can you please advise what the implications of this are, where a councillor may wish to make a personal explanation to apologise for something that was related to a specific resolution, and would this prevent them from saying what the resolution was?
Just before you answer that, the amendments that I have are the ones in red, if you're ready. The rest of what's in black is existing.
Yeah. It's just that because it adds the will not under any circumstances, so, yeah, it makes that stronger. So it's just about making sure we're clear that in what situations people can talk about a resolution if they're apologising in relation to that resolution.
Thank you.
And through the chair, Councillor Nevin's entirely correct. So in terms of, and so the way I have read it and the way I would interpret it, if asked, is that at the moment, as appears in black already, it is already the effectively the policy position of the council under this code that the explanation will not make those imputations. And obviously in red, that's been sort of strengthened in some senses where it's talking about under any circumstances, directly or indirectly. But it was already in there that it's not to be used for making statements regarding council resolutions. What follows on in red now is that except where that personal explanation is to satisfy clause B, if we just move the screen, what you'll see above at B above, so the amended clause B talks about can provide the member's account in which they had involvement or to address a requirement of the council or satisfy council resolution. So they need to be read together, those two subclauses, that it's not to be used to make a statement regarding a council resolution except for where it's addressing up above B, and that is where you might be satisfying council resolution, for example, to make, say, an explanation or to provide an apology for a matter. And in my view, what that clarifies is that the provision is not to be used as an opportunity to make statements about council resolutions in a public forum, sort of absent any application or distinction around the basis upon which they're making that statement. And it's really kind of, it's analogous in that sense to me in terms of going out and making public statements in a public forum outside of the chamber. And that will become even more important. And obviously there will be additional provisions you'll need to take into account as we head into, for example, the next elections process, where we don't want the council chamber to be used as a forum where elected members can generally talk about any council resolution. So my advice is that clarifies it needs to have a connection, a nexus for that elected member in relation to that resolution. And in that sense, you can refer to that resolution.
Thank you. I didn't have any questions, but we'll follow up on the debate. Councillor, any questions?
No, I think that this is okay.
Well, I haven't the second yet, so I'll be
now.
Councillor Marks, second.
Yeah.
Thank you. So move second now. So the right councillor. Oh, secondly, I think that's the right to be.
Thank you. I support Councillor Ossetoc's amendments. I think this is a good way to clarify and make stronger this particular item in the agenda. Quite clearly, it's not an opportunity to make personal statements. Really, it's about acknowledging the community events, people in the gallery, special guests, and things like that. It's quite clear from both the board and from the local government that there are other opportunities, such as personal explanation, for making personal explanations, and for that, the member, including the mayor, needs to seek leave of the meeting. And I think that's a really important thing. And I thank Councillor Ossetoc for bringing this to the chamber.
Just before I go, who else wishes to speak?
Other question.
Question. I'll give you the question first, then you can answer the question.
Sorry, I'm just formulating as I speak. In a situation where a member sought leave of the meeting to make a personal explanation to satisfy a resolution of council, and they were not given leave of the meeting, what implications would there be?
So through the chair, if the member was seeking leave of the meeting to provide an explanation, for example, around an apology from a potential, if there'd been a breach ground, for example, let's say under the behavioural standards for council members, if the council did not grant them leave to speak, then in my view, council would effectively be prevented from making a complaint that the elected members would give effect to the sanction that had been applied by the council, because as a chamber, you prevented them from doing so.
Thank you.
Councillor Huxter, end of the debate.
I very much support the amendments that are being proposed. I think they're important and well thought through. My hesitation comes from the amount of diversity in the chamber tonight, and I think that we're making a decision about a policy that impacts a lot of us here, and we're not all here to debate it and consider it in its entirety. So I'm not quite sure where I go with that, but that's what I think.
Councillor Brunner.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Acting Mayor. I'll be quick. I think this is a sensible change to our policy. We as a chamber have decided to have this introductory comment or opening remarks available to the men. The intention of those opening remarks are well described, but they're just not mandated. This will mandate it. Other stuff can be done through leave of the meeting. I think this will tidy it up. Regarding some people not being here, I guess we've still got to go on with the business of government when people aren't absent, but we can't change what we do because of it. What else? What otherwise, what would happen? I support this. I think it's a good tidying up of our procedures, but I'm certainly in favour of keeping opening marks. They have considerable merit for acknowledging important people in the room. Events, changes to the agenda, and a number of other things that I think really facilitate a good meeting, so I support it.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Any further debate. I just can say, in terms of meetings and not only debate people here, I don't think you can do it. You could ask one of your colleagues to adjourn the meeting, so it could be considered perhaps the next meeting when there are more people here, but you're not sure. Assured that there will be more people here because we've already approved leave to pass Councillor Selwood.
Thank you. I'm similar to Councillor Hutster, a little bit on the fence about this one. I take note of Councillor Gill's comment that, you know, maybe we even want to look at whether we have the opening remarks. I think there's a little bit more to unpack here than making amendments in a meeting like this. And at risk of saying I'd love this to go to a workshop, you know, now that we've got so many workshops on our plate, but I do actually think that this is something that does need a little bit of unpacking and the implications of it. So yeah, I suppose if the motion is lost, I can foreshadow that I probably need to do something to bring this to some sort of workshop if
it's lost. If it's lost, we could also move that. And separate report we brought back on the benefits of having a society members report, if this one goes through, address that particular issue in the coolness of some of I will take that as information without notice at the end of the meeting. At the end of the meeting. At the end of the item. I'll take most of that. Question? Yes, your question?
Can you repeat that, please?
If whatever happens, there can be a motion. See, if it's carried, I was saying, if it's carried, it could be a motion. And Selwood said she would do that to ask the CEO to prepare a report on the concept of not. Or including deciding members to report in the agenda. So that's not, that would dispense for this business and look at that particular item, which is a valid one, but perhaps I didn't think it tends to do it. But it's a good point to raise. So that's a way through that particular issue.
Thank you.
So I'm just advised that it would have to be notice on motion, which logically needs to be.
I just have a question about that.
Sorry, I've got opinions everywhere. Councillor Oliver's got there a question.
I have a yes, I understand, but I said leave the meeting to amend the motion.
Please leave. Well, let's hear what you've got to say.
Point four. In addition to the motion, point four. The CEO prepare a report for council's consideration as to the merits of agenda item mayor's opening remarks and options for council's consideration. I already put that in there. So just prepare a report for council consideration as to the merits of agenda item, mayor's opening remarks, full stop. I think that satisfies members' concerns.
Is it prepare a report, council's consideration as to contain the mayor's opening remarks as an agenda item?
Yeah, well, that's the intent of what I'm saying, yes. As to retaining the merits of retaining
mayor's opening remarks as an agenda item.
As an agenda item, thank you.
Mayor's opening remarks. So mayor's opening remarks
and the chamber one.
Correct.
And that's my yeah.
Councillor Marcy, you agree with that? Leave the meeting. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 So I have to leave the meeting. So that is now the motion you're considering. Yeah. That speakers 1, 2. Councillor Gill, you'd ask questions, but you haven't spoken, and you haven't down spoken.
I'd like to move the agenda. That is up to look at it later on.
Yeah. Can you give a date? Give it a date?
Not off the top of my head, since I can't remember the next one. Yeah, it's the 11th of February, thanks, maybe.
Maybe the 25th?
Maybe the 25th, when there's maybe more people here. So can we adjourn to the
25th? Can do that.
So I'll move the adjournment to the 25th.
Councillor Gilden will the adjournment of the 11th until the meeting of the 25th of February?
Yep.
Councillor Paxton can second that?
Yep.
Councillor Paxton can second that. It will be noted that. And all those in favour, please indicate the adjournment. 1, 2, 3, 4 in favour. Against. Great. The motion is carried. The item is adjourned to the meeting of the 25th of March.
Can I call division?
You know, Council Bills. Call for the division. Those in favour, please stand. I've got my Council Axter, Council Gill, Council Silver, and All upgrades done to Mobile Hanna. The recommendations. I just asked the director if you've got to make comments. My opening comment is I'm glad to see this matter brought to conclusion. I'll be happier when they drain the thing.
Thank you, Flying Member. It's not really so much about the report, which is clarified because I know a number of people have read the article in the Career last week, which does not, the headline does not quite accurately, and the last paragraph of that article does not quite accurately describe what is going on with this project. It did say up to 82 red guns were removed, and I guess that is technically correct, in other words, up to. But what I can assure the chamber is that the number of trees that will be removed is just a small number, just a handful of trees. My understanding is that the journalist has obtained an early survey that was undertaken by the Department of Transport as part of their initial design work, which indicated that a much larger number of trees may have been removed. However, one of the upsides of us taking the project is that we've been able to amend the design so that it has far less impact on vegetation. So if there was to be an impact that was alluded to in that article, then we would have brought the project to the chamber for consideration.
Question?
Yeah.
No, yes, Councillor.
Question?
Is your question?
No, sorry.
Question?
My question is, will any of those trees that are scheduled to be removed, the trees that will be moved in the class to significant more regular trees for the PBI?
Through you, Presiding Member, no trees meeting either of those definitions that I expect to be removed.
Thank you. Very satisfying. Now, any further questions?
No.
Councillor Till, please.
Yes, I have a question. Through in light of the recent legal advice that the council received, or the CEO received, in respect to council's resolution, indeed the sanction that the council saw fit to impose on the mayor on the 26th of November, how does that impact on item 5 of the resolution, that it says that if necessary, the mayor and the chief executive officer are authorised by council's common seal to the funding agreement. Should that not be the deputy mayor in light of Ms. Innes' legal advice?
Yes, thank you.
Irrespective of whatever decision the council made in terms of who the principal spokesperson might be at the council, the principal member remains the mayor. And so there is still a role then for the principal member to affix the common seal. It's not a spokesperson role.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I provided some words to the administration. I'd like to move points 1 through 5 printed with the addition of points 6 and 7.
So 1 through 5.
As printed in the addition. 7 of addition.
6 and 7. Yeah.
May I speak to the motion now?
You're moving it with those
additions. With the addition.
Just before you did, would you consider to accept the state governance officer to contribute $390,000 and the words with thanks?
Yeah, sure.
Only significant trees or regulated?
No.
Any significant
trees? Isn't that regulated?
Probably
with the chamber.
Yeah.
Right. And regulated. What you see is up there with tanks and regulated. 6 and 7
over your 10 to 2. So I think this is really exciting that we're able to get this work done. And I know Councillor Herman's been a huge proponent of this work. I know that many of us in our ward have had numerous phone calls and meetings with residents whose houses have been flooded. And I was actually looking at the bid survey that was done in. There was one done in 2007 and one done in 2013 and another in 2023, and it made me realise that there has been a very long time that these people have been having their houses flooded. Well, it's just taken us time to get this done. And I also want to acknowledge the work of the CEO, because you've been advocating for this, and Mr. Waters as well, to make sure that we can get this done and get this funding happening. I was really disappointed. I'll be honest about the coverage in Korea last week. It was a really good news story that we were really excited to share, and it came across as a really bad news story. So thank you, Mr. Waters, for clearing that up for us and showing us that we're not going to be cutting down 82 big red gums for this project. I do think it is important, given that there has been, the community have been told that we are potentially cutting down trees, that we bring a report back to council if there are any significant or regulated trees that need removal, just so that we're clear with our community about what we are doing in that space, and we can give them confidence that we are caring about the trees while we're undertaking this flooding work. That's why I've included 6 and 7 to the motion. So with that, I can move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Searle. And second for that, Councillor Dewey.
Yes, I'd like to second through, Chair. It has been a long time coming for those residents. It's been an issue even before I started on council, and I'd like to thank all the administration that have been involved in the past and what they've done in the present, and also Councillor Herman's ongoing support and dedication to keeping it on the agenda to keep make sure it happens. So thank you to Councillor Herman.
The questions without notice will be shorter now. It's only Gillett's been told, and about the Junction Road storm.
We have another battle with County
Second, any further to say? Or questions, debate on them? Councillor Lunch?
Just briefly, yeah, and look, I shared Selwood's concerns about trees. That's why I actually asked the question about significant regulated trees. After Mr. Waters commented on the trees that were going to be removed, it is a really important thing that we do always consider vegetation loss in the council when we undertake new projects. So I can imagine it's forming.
Questions?
I just noticed that the words that are up there are not the ones I've circulated fully, so I just wanted to see if I could bury it. I can revert to say what I had circulated. So that any significant trees that need to be removed be communicated to council via a report prior to
when you can see it in front of you, it's easier to read. When you're up there, it's like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not for thought, as it is. Thank you. That's the closing. But I just have one closing comment. I was shocked when I read that the bid had spent $350,000 on design. I really struggled to believe that. But then when we got initial costs in framing and killer, you can see perhaps I don't know how that would be costly.
A bit of fat.
And I would just acknowledge the CEO too. It's been some tough projects. Started off with the Coolman that have been around for a long time. CEO seemed to move and shape that happened. Warren Road intersection. Again, we had discussions with it, not we, CEO at the top level. And now we've had this at the top level, at the opposite level, which is over there. Thank you, Star. I'd like to see you were there as well. So thank you for that. Now we'll reel up another project for me to ask.
I have a list, particularly for Dan.
As printed on the board, all those in favour? Carry unanimously. Well, only two. Funding for from the Sterling Community Shop. Or works near the over road. Director, what do you think of that?
No presiding member, but this was in 2 months about whether to even bring it to the chamber, but decided that it was the right thing to do, especially when it was raised at the last council meeting in an address in the public forum. It's a piece of work that's been going on for some time to work through with that group where they invest some money in to achieve some of the outcomes they're aiming to achieve in the Sterling area. That's what they set out to do. I think it's going to be a really positive outcome. Should council resolve to accept this, and we proceed with the works. And I have emphasised in the report that the works, can be done reasonably soon without jeopardising the progress of other projects. So, bonus.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
I'd like to move it.
Thank you, Boyd. Maybe it has printed.
Yeah. I'm wondering whether I can give some community feedback. If that's okay. We've recently upgraded the bus stop outside the community shop, and one of the community shop volunteers came up to have her lunch, and she thought that she'd sit on the new chair. She sat on the chair and it was like Goldilocks. Her feet were dangling in the air, not on the actual ground, and she said, "I've come out to eat my lunch and I can't sit here." So we need some ergonomics going on, because I'm sure we'll spend a lot of money on that seat. And I don't know whether that's something that can be rectified, but I just thought we should know about, we should know who our clients are really are.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Could you take that off?
Yes.
Board staff, and get back to Councillor Boyd about it.
But thoroughly approve of this project.
I can understand short people sitting on the chairs. Councillor Gilbert. I'm waiting for the seconder.
Yes, like a second.
Councillor Gerrard, second. Who wishes to speak?
And fully support any project that makes our council area more accessible to people.
Any further debate, questions? I did ask a question about whether this would add to depreciation, it's a capital investment. Ms. Waters advised that what's there now would be depreciated about the same way, so not actually impact. I put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please signify. It's carried unanimously. Agenda point 12.3. Nomination for the position of deputy mayor, CEO. Explain address to you, so you know. An email address to the CEO, which I'll ask you. Perhaps we can read that out and then we'll go through all the budgets. Would you like to read that?
Sure. This is a statement from Councillor Daniel. He's put a nomination form to be a deputy mayor. If you might read out his statement. Yeah. I am an apology tonight, as we welcome a beautiful daughter into our family late on Sunday evening. Whilst in some respects it feels strange to seek your support while not being there in person, it is an important time to be with my family. It takes an exceptional circumstance to keep me away from our meetings, evidenced by the fact that I have not missed one for nearly 2 years. I appreciate that anything said in 2 minutes may not influence your views as to whether I'm the right person for the role at this time. I've been fortunate enough to previously be deputy acting mayor, so you are aware of the leadership style, effort, and approach I take to such an important role. In saying this, I want to emphasize that if I'm elected deputy mayor, I will provide a calm and steady hand. I will actively engage with the administration, elected members, and the community to help achieve the best possible outcomes for our region. This includes strongly representing our position on important issues to key stakeholders and the media. I appreciate the diversity of views which exist both within the chamber and across our region. I'm mindful to take the time to understand those views, even if a person's position does not align with mine. Importantly, I will do this in a respectful way. I have a sound understanding of legislation, policies, and procedures which guide our decision-making process. I will continue to seek out opportunities to refine my skills and remain open to feedback to ensure I'm undertaking the role to the best of my ability. Irrespective of whether I'm endorsed tonight as our deputy mayor, I look forward to working with you and the administration to achieve the goals outlined in our new strategic plan. Thank you for considering my nomination. Councillor Daniel.
Thank you, CEO. Now, before I proceed with this, the recommendation that we receive and note the report, I'll ask the question, are there likely to be any further nominations for the position of deputy mayor in the communal panel? That will change our procedure between now. The reason there are no unlikely to further nominations for the position of deputy mayor, so we'll move to. So, decision one is council resolves or by some move the one report deputy mayor promptly received and noted. Two with his nominated. So insert councillor Nathan Daniel. The position of deputy mayor now would need a turn to go on there. There's 13-14 months left, so turn. You move one and two with a number.
Yeah, I could move it with a term of 12 months.
Right. That's Thank you. So insert include on the 28th of January 2026. Can you clear on that? So that's the county council joining 12 months until this time next year. Any questions? If not, I can put that to the vote. All those in. Oh, I have a second. Yeah. Council Officer Dr. Tegley and Carrie Lane. All those in favour. That's carried unanimously. That's all in favour. Congratulations, Dr. Councillor Dannon. And you were involved in supporting. Now, we have the number of appointments. The Adelaide Hills Regional Waste Commission Committee, some of the following the notings, and appointing Elizabeth Williams as the independent member of the Adelaide Hills Regional Waste Management Committee, Water and Risk Commission, 3 years, expiring 2028. Any questions about that? She's Councillor Baxter. That is a recommendation from the mayor and the board's heads. We're endorsing that. So I think we're going to need to vote on that. All those in favour, please signify. Carried unanimously. 4.5, this is the appointment to that Adelaide Hills Regional Waste Management Authority Board. Reports in front of you. Again, I'll ask a question. Are there any people interested in taking the position of board member? Please signify. So we have one that's indicated an interest, and the deputy board member. Is normally staffing, Mr. Warden, the deputy board member.
Yes, that's the rule of the
game. Mr. McCarthy,
yeah.
I think, would be the deputy. He does play.
Is that all James?
I think Mr. McCarthy would be a good choice.
Tonight, please. We need some resolution. All right. So Mr. McCarthy is the deputy at the moment. And he's whatever he is. Involved in waste management, the director who's the director. So I'll ask for a move for putting some names. Got the councillor Grant, you indicated, and there's no other one. So A is okay. But B, we need perhaps a bit of debate or a name to go in there, Councillor Ross.
Mr. Waters.
So you will need to move the lot. You'll move the council. That's on the board.
Yes, so I'll move that one.
Yes, so Connie, Councillor Grant, for 2 years. I'm assuming that. Yeah, 2 years, and Mr. Waters was the same here in 2026. Perhaps it's not a paid position, but you might wish to declare a general conflict of interest. There's probably a disbenefit attached to it.
Well, especially if it's 2 years. No one asked me. I'll declare a general conflict because obviously this item is seeking to appoint me, and the result of that will either end. Result in me either being on the board or not being on the board, which does affect me, but I think that's a conflict I can manage and remain in the room. And if I could just speak briefly, I might be the only person to put my hand up, but it doesn't have to be me. I'm certainly offering my services, but the chamber, it is within the will of the chamber to appoint two staff members if they were sorely aggrieved that I was the only option from in the chamber. That's perfectly legitimate. We don't have to have an elected member, but I think there's a lot of value in it. Yeah, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, are you going to stay in these rooms, though?
Yeah.
Yes. No. Councillor
Selwood. I've just got a question up there. It says under A, commence on 29th January 2024 as a planning point.
25.
So it's only 1 year, is my understanding.
25 on the next one. So 25.
You can't retroactively.
Oh, I
did.
You have a second while we're there if you want, while we're not.
So we've had Councillor Stock and Councillor Phil. Yeah, I'm the back. Councillor Baxter.
Thank you, Presiding Member. Can I just offer an alternative to you? Whilst Mr. Woods would be a fantastic deputy, there is a new CEO to the Wakefield's Region Waste Management Authority, and I think there may be another change or two to the board itself as well, and I wonder if there may be benefit in Mr. MacArthur remaining on there for a word that is escaping my brain.
Continuity.
Thank you. But that's just my
it's your opinion. Opinion. Exercise your right when you vote for the motion before we go to
it. I think most rewards would be fab, but
you exercise your democratic right when you vote. You can't possibly do that.
Any comment?
No. Any further debate? Yeah. Oh, Councillor Civil.
That was.
Yeah. Right, now we're in the okay, thanks for picking up the 25. The bonus phase, always in favour. That is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Grant, and I think that's the administration can send a letter of thanks to John Carter for the guest. And Councillor Huxley, you were on. Thank you. Yes. And Councillor Huxley, so I'll say contribution. Thank you. Library Board.
I have a material conflict of interest so that was scrolled earlier and document will require a handle. So I have it somewhere. Really shame. Yeah.
Before we proceed, are there any other people who can nominate the position on the library? So that will be made in the PLPI. With no invitation, we'll proceed in considering the recommendation to be inserting the name of Councillor Mark Ostertag in. It's was well, the council unanimously of your nomination.
Thank you.
12.7 CEO PMRP's deciding member. We don't or adopt the same practice of asking who wishes to nominate for the position of that? Are there one mark who's around? So,
I'm not.
Please, how are you wishing to stand?
No, I'm not. I've got a question. Yes, I'm just wondering whether the independent member put her name forward for this role.
Yeah,
You can ask that.
Okay. Right, so I'm asking now, is there any interest around the table or around this table? If not, I can invite
Vanessa.
Vanessa, if you'd like to come forward.
Sure.
Vanessa is the member, C-O-E-R-E. If you'd like to address the chamber.
Thank you, through presiding member. Hello, I'm Vanessa. I think I've met some or all of you and did try to speak to all of you prior to the meeting tonight. I'm the current independent member on the CEOP, and I've been in that role for 12 months now. And I just thought it was a good opportunity to nominate for the presiding member for the position. For those of you who don't know me, I am an organisational psychologist by background, and I've been an HR practitioner for 30 years, which hurts to say. And I'm currently the head of HR at Northline, which is a privately owned freight forwarding company. But prior to that, I worked for the City of Adelaide for 7.5 years, and I was an associate director there, looking after their customer and people program. And I also did support the CEO performance review panel on the administration side of that context. So I just feel as though I can bring to the panel some independence as the presiding member, as well as some expertise both in governance and in the area of HR and CEO performance. And it felt like the right time to perhaps have an independent presiding member, notwithstanding we've had some excellent support in the presiding member chair for the last 12 months, but we have a relatively new panel, and I just felt like I could bring that to the panel, and that's what I put my name forward. So hopefully.
Thank you, Vanessa. Any questions, Vanessa? If not, thank you. Councillor Grant.
Yeah, could I put a motion as print to appoint Ms. Godden to the as presiding member of the panel?
Yes. Thank you. You've noted that, Councillor Grant.
Yeah, can I speak briefly?
Yes, you would.
Yeah, look, I'll make it quick because Vanessa speaks well herself, but myself and Councillor Park and interviewed for the independent member position. A year and a bit ago, and there were a number of applicants. It's surprising how keen people are to give up their time for something like this, but it is an important role. And Vanessa was chosen as the independent member because of her quite daunting experience in local government, in governance, in HR, but in particular because of her his independence and her strengthful character to pull up the panel if she were to disagree with it. And that was seen as a really important component. We didn't want someone, another, to simply go along with that happening. And I think this is a good time for someone like Ms. Godden to preside, make sure the panel doesn't lose its stride, is chaired fairly, frankly, but strongly. And I think because we have some new members on there, I think it will give a lot of continuity. And I think, Ms. Godden would do an excellent job. And I'm very grateful that she's there. So I hope people will support this motion.
Yeah, so I'm going to
thank
that
motion.
So I have been on the COPRP for 8 months now, and in that time I've seen we've gotten bring a lot of really critical thought, but also a lot of care for the staff and administration to the panel, and I really have valued that in that time. I think she does bring that objective lens and is very considered and measured in her approach, but also not afraid to hold back and tell us what we need to hear. So I think she'll be an excellent presiding member. And I think moving forward into this hopefully next stage of a positive way forward. I think she can usher us through that really well. So I'm really glad that she's put her hand up, and the panel will be in good hands if this is successful.
Thank you, Councillor Selwyn. Perhaps have one question for you. You would. If required, would you both attend the normal council meeting on the Tuesday night after the committee meeting, or when the minutes of your meetings come to the council, would you both attend if necessary to perhaps provide explanation of the minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be prepared to do that. And the terms of reference obviously require the presiding member to attend at least one council meeting a year. But I would also be comfortable with other members of the panel representing the panel at the meeting. But notwithstanding that, I'm very happy to come, and I think I've shown that I'm willing to come to meetings. I've been to a workshop already. So yes, if that was the will of the chamber, I'd be more than happy to come.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The importance I need for that 10 months at the one.
Sorry, just a question around why the 10th of December.
Yeah. Oh, I have that question.
Yeah.
Is that the that line up? Like a month. Yes, yeah, thank you. Welcome to the amendments.
It coincides with the majority of the existing panel members' appointments coming due.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. All right. We could include, but the Deputy Mayor is a member of this panel. We probably thank you, Councillor Selwyn, for the 8 months. And look forward to Councillor Banning replacing you. And that can be formed by so we have the resolution, a motion in front of you to appoint Nessa Dodden to that position of voting member for until the 10th of December 25. All those in favour, please indicate. All those against, that's carried unanimously. So thank you for attending tonight. Ms. Waters, is there anything you wish to add to the report? The recommendation is for noting. Anything you wish to add? No? Thank you. Any questions?
When I came to audit committee, I asked a few questions about things that I thought we had done that hadn't been included in what's showing up as Appendix 1 in this agenda. A couple of them have been included since that meeting, but I know that a number of staff weren't at that meeting. The one that's still missing, and just wondered if it can be added, if ever goes to any other bodies, is around sustainable procurement and whether that can be included in the financial management section.
So it's been included in that, and that can be done administratively. Would you like to move that?
Sure. Yes, that's pretty.
Thank you, Councillor Selwyn. Further questions or debate? Right, silent, all those in favour, please indicate. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Correspondence for noting. DFRMA business case update. Letter from the DFRMA rejecting our withdrawal. From CEO to the Department of Infrastructure, and a letter from the Honourable Minister regarding the change in the Junction Road Government of Grange. I think that's it. Does does anyone want to talk about any of those items?
I just got some questions on one of them.
Which one?
Which is the letter from the GRMA regarding the AHC membership withdrawal.
Okay, so I've got into the question.
Obviously that's part of the process that they've rejected our withdrawal. So I'm just interested in what the next steps are and do we need any further resolutions from council to continue pursuing the matter?
Through you, presiding member. Yes, it's a stepped out process. The next step is we'll compile a report that will come back to council for their consideration. And part of that will be also formally inviting again to the minister around how we can ultimately exit the association.
I'm still waiting. I think
there is.
No question, just on that. I don't mean this to be childish, but they've written to us saying that they reject our request to withdraw. And is it, do we need to write back to them and say that we object to their?
No, we're rejecting. Is this the game that they're playing? Like, does their letter of rejection of our request to withdraw, does that have any weight with the minister? Because if it does, I think it would be appropriate that we write back to them and say, well, thanks very much, but this is our decision. We object to your correspondence of such and such a date. If this document that they've sent us has any weight with the minister whatsoever.
It probably will be worth us writing back to them to say that we will be continuing. That we would like to remove ourselves from the association, so you can do that at least.
Okay, so you can do that under your own. Yeah, fine.
So just another reason I attended that meeting. The reason they rejected to it because at the moment costs are shared six ways. We would call the same cost and shared five.
I understand that. Yeah.
So any other questions on any of the comments? Yes, Councillor Grant.
Yeah, thank you, presiding member. This is one, I think, for Mr. Waters, and I don't want him to say anything that's not politically sensitive, but could Mr. Waters comment on item 14.4, the letter from Mr. Quinson Taylor saying that 80% of the responsibility for stormwater is council's and 20% is. Did Mr. Waters consider that a fair allocation or that being based on any evidence at all?
We're not obliged to ask that, Mr. Waters. I do my best and damage our relationship between our and the government. Presiding member, the responsibility of stormwater drainage is fairly clearly set out in the operational instruction adopted by the commissioner in relation to debt and profits. And of course, that interpretation of that has been subject, very much the subject of discussions about this project. And I think we're all aware of the history. Different administrators of debt over the years have, at one point we got a letter saying clearly, they will proceed with works, and then things changed. But the conversation's been very respectful, so there's certainly nothing untoward about any of the more recent conversations and negotiations. But there are ongoing challenges from time to time when it comes to the delineation of responsibility between DIB and council in relation to stormwater management, tree management, and other things. And the thing is, I think they've got a fairly open door with us in particular at the moment, where we can raise these issues, but we can get pretty good outcomes. Well done. Thank you, Dean. Orders? Yeah, move for we can do the moving or the present.
I'm happy to move in the job lot.
Yeah, Councillor Block. Councillor Silver move block and then second up. Councillor March is second up. All those in favour, please indicate. Carried unanimously. Amendments on committees. Cabinets. There were three sets of cabinets, but we'll deal with them independently. Working off two screens. So questions, questions about notes. Any questions about notes in there?
You won't believe. Oh yes, Councillor Brown.
You called me unaware, sorry, member. This is questions for perhaps for the CEO, but I'm sorry to ask this on the fly, at a previous meeting we noted that you, the CEO, would establish the community bushfire reference group. I know there's been moves to gather members for that group. Is there any? I understand if you don't know where it's up to at the moment, but is there a timeline for the completion of that group being assembled and for the first meeting?
Through you, presiding member, could I please take that off notice and get an email about it?
Yeah, of course. Just need to
pick up, note up where we left off, and because it's a really important committee and we need to get it working sooner than later. Appreciate that.
Any further questions before I ask Mike? No, we need to get the work needed about me. And CEO, can you provide an update with the family review?
Through you, presiding member. Look, it's a very short update. We're waiting. We've submitted all the information they requested of us, and therefore we are awaiting correspondence from BDO, who are the consultants, or the committee themselves.
Thank you. Questions that now we've motioned with our notes. Any further questions, please? So, motion about notes.
Circulated the proposed motion that I noticed to you earlier in the grant condition to accept it. And I circulated that to the administration staff.
We'll just get it up on the short.
After 10.5, item one, after 10.5 bracket, 10 December 2023. Members, I move the recommendation as printed, and speaking to that, members will be aware that I put a host of questions on notice concerning Council's resolution of 26 of November 2024 concerning their wisdom and the sanctions that this Council submitted to impose upon their wisdom as a result of a paid standards report, inquiry report. This motion that I'm seeking your support for is to set the public record straight in relation to this agenda item, which was ultimately answered Deputy Mayor Selwood determining that the questions in fact be answered when she assumed the role of presiding member at the meeting on the 10th of December. Now, as can be seen there, the facts of the matter are plainly articulated in this motion without notice. It's calling on Council to note item 10.5 in relation to questions that took place or that were ultimately answered on the 10th of December. And the facts surrounding it were quite plainly that Mayor Wisdom, pursuant to the provisions of Section 9.6 of the Local Government Procedures of Meeting Regulations, on or about the 4th day of December 2024, in response to my questions on notice that I provided the CEO, in correspondence that the Mayor had with the administration, on or about the 4th of December, determined that my questions should not be answered on the basis that she considered them to be improper. Now, quite correctly, under Section 9.6, those questions were published in the agenda on the 10th of December, the questions, not the answers. And then the Mayor left the meeting, as you recall, 12 minutes after it commenced at 6:12. And at 6:13, Deputy Mayor Selwood assumed the chair. And subsequently, throughout the agenda process, Deputy Mayor Selwood, at the meeting, saw fit under her power as presiding member that the question would be answered, and they were, in fact, answered. So this motion is purely about setting the record straight as to the sequence of events surrounding those questions on notice. And I ask the council to support this resolution in order to do just that, set the record straight in relation to those questions on notice. I commend the motion to the chamber. I seek your support.
Question?
When was this actually circulated? Because I can't find it in any of my emails or any correspondence. Therefore, I do not feel that I have enough information to be able to actually make a decision on this matter. And I won't be voting.
Now, before I seek a second, Councillor Selwood, you were mentioned in that, is what Councillor Ostock, particularly point three, that your recollection of the events?
Yes, that's actually correct.
Councillor Gill, if you feel you Councillor Gill, if you feel you don't have enough information, you have the right, as you did before, you can see a motion to adjourn. But I will seek the second or first before second votes. So is there a second of the motion for Councillor Martin being the second? So do you feel to adjourn the meeting to a date, you need a date, and you might come back, and you have that right. I'm just clarifying, you did speak with a question, but you are able to move the chair out back to you. Thanks so much. Councillor Gill, when you consider the adjournments, bear in mind this is no longer before. Councillor Munch.
I support this. My understanding is this is an accurate reflection of what occurred, and I think it's really important that this is on the record.
Question,
yes.
Can the CEO comment on the motion as printed on the screen, as to its accuracy?
Yes. One part of it confirmed by the Deputy Mayor of the Chair, the CEO.
Through you, presiding member, yes, it's an accurate reflection.
Yeah. Yes, what happens to the question? Debate.
I just want to echo Councillor Munch's comments. I think this is an accurate reflection of what happened, and fair enough to just get that on paper and formalise it. So I think this is what it is.
Yes, Councillor Selwood.
Yes, I'll just enter the debate. So under Regulation 9.6, the presiding member may rule that a question with or without notice not be answered if the presiding member considers that the question is vague, irrelevant, insulting, or improper. I just wanted to make it clear to the chamber that having considered very quickly those questions, I could not determine that they were vague, irrelevant, insulting, or improper, and that's why I allowed the questions to be answered. I had been advised by the administration that answers were ready in case that was going to be the determination. So that is how that happened. I just wanted to make that clear to the chamber. I'll be supporting the motion just because it's a statement of what happened. And I probably have problems with that.
Councillor Gilton, but in terms of you still going to proceed with the adjournment, it's a noting line, so if you do seek an adjournment, I think in fairness to the administration,
that you have to provide reasons and what information, further information you will require. So when it comes back to that, they can leave that with a present or two.
Right, I'll just provide you with information.
Okay. Now, anyone else? Councillor Graham?
Yeah, thank you for citing them. I do support the motion. I think there's an important principle here because the mayor attempted to use or did use the powers to refuse a question on notice, and it would appear not because she had valid grounds to refuse it, but because she didn't want the questions to be asked. And I just think it's important for all of us that believe in open and transparent government that questions should be allowed to be asked, whether palatable or not, and answered in the light of day. That's the important principle we've got here. And I think the mayor in this circumstance was mistaken in refusing questions that she simply didn't want aired in the chamber. And it's important that we remind ourselves that, no, this is open and transparent government, and we do want questions that have validity brought to the chamber and some members of the public can find out the answer to those questions. So, yeah, I'll support the motion.
Everyone's spoken. Councillor Scott, please vote. All those in favour, please indicate. All those against,
the division.
Carried.
I call it division.
Councillor Scott, Dr. Paul, the division. So I'll set my ruling aside. All those in favour, please indicate. Councillors Boyd, Selwood, Graham, Baxter, Smudge, and Osterstock. Those against, Councillor McGill. I'll move the motion. I'll speak to it. The CEO writes to the organisers of Australia Day celebration on the 26th of January, congratulating on the excellent organisation for the day and providing good news for the community to celebrate this important day. And in speaking to that, I attended as a private citizen the Yunnaraka Australia Day celebration, which is hosted by the Lions Club of Valley. Lions Club of Valley. We had a phone call from someone who attended the Woodville one, which was put on by the Offa Valley Lions Club, and didn't attend the Sterling or the Crusader ones, which was fine. They were very, well, Tamaraka was an enjoyable day. About 150 people there. They had a bouncy castle, and traditional Australia Day music and songs. We had an Indigenous person participated in the flag waving ceremony. That was brilliant and great day for all the people. It's totally inclusive. We recognise First Nations people. So it's an enjoyable day. Now, I don't know about the others, but if any of you didn't happen to attend any of those, you can follow me. So this is a tour of knowledge of these community groups took it into their own hand without any councils whatsoever. Celebrate that people for a second. Thank you. And you wish to speak?
Yeah, I think it is important to recognise our community when they actually go and do something, despite this council trying to stop them from doing things the community actually enjoy doing. I think it was a very inclusive day. As were some of the agendas for some of the other events. So I think the community organisations need to be congratulated on actually just getting on with their job and ignoring the debate and divisiveness of this council.
Councillor Mark.
Thank you, Acting Presiding Member. I would like to move it in, if I could. to this commission. I would like to delete the word Australia Day celebrations on 26th of January and add Australia Day long weekend celebrations. So add that, so change it to that, and then make that point one.
So this is an amendment. Yeah, it's not a variation, it's an amendment.
This is an amendment, yep. Yeah. So make that point one. And point two. Great. And acknowledges council's citizenship and civic awards.
Councillor March, I think point two is going outside of an amendment. It's starting to do with citizenship. The original motion did not mention citizenship.
Hold on, can I make this record? Held on Friday of the Australia Day long weekend. Supported by various community groups, including the Irregular Concert Band and Upper Sturt CFS. And thanks them for their support. That's point two. And point three. Acknowledges the Terramunk Wata Survival Day 2025. Spelling.
Yeah, that is correct. It's in the strip. Yeah.
Paramount Water, WATTA. Survival Day 2025 event organised by the Paramount Nation. Spellings that could be fixed administratively, for scheduled for 26th of January, comma, supported by District Council of Mount Barker. And unfortunately, postponed due to weather to a later date. Well, and point number four we're up to, acknowledges and thanks the Australia Day Council and organisers for holding the morning in the morning, so it's MOURNING in the morning event at Elder Park on 26th of January. I could speak to my.
Well, I've never been made certain that I believe that's the meaning. And my ruling is that. I'll accept one as an amendment. I believe two, three, and four go beyond, well beyond the original motion. Therefore, I will not accept two, three, and four. I invite you to move that as a separate motion.
Yeah. You
want to
speak to this one?
You have to finish. So I'll accept one. You can speak to it. You can speak to it. Yeah, I haven't accepted two, three, and four. You understand that?
Yeah.
But you have the right to include that part. You can speak to one of the amendments. Changing Australia Day to long weekend somewhere.
Actually, there was not on Sunday because the long weekend's not on Sunday.
No.
So just delete the on Sunday and the 6th of
January. We destroyed our long weekend.
So that should be celebrations or?
Celebrations, yeah. Thanks.
Have you got on the board here? That reads the CEO writes the organisers of Australia Day long weekend, so the Australia Day long weekend celebrations, congratulating them on the excellent organisation day and providing benefits for the community to celebrate this important fact.
It's okay, I'd like to actually put
sure,
and community groups. And community groups who supported the Australia Day with the long weekend.
Yeah,
look, I think look, I had no problems with supporting anyone who did stuff and the Australia Day long weekend. But I including that 26th of January day. But I think it needs to be expanded to acknowledge that there are a number of celebrations that were and commemorations and ceremonies that were held on that weekend. Not all of them are on the 26th of January. And as I mentioned in my previous thing, there was the Taramangwata Survival Day, which was held on was proposed to be held on that weekend. And I do know that was supported by the District Council of Mount Barker, who provided, I believe, some grant funding towards it, which was
$5,000.
Yeah, which is a really good thing to do. And I do know that we are in partnership with the District Council of Mount Barker on the Aboriginal, the Reconciliation Working Group, sorry. And I do also acknowledge that we had another event which was outside the council, which was the morning of the morning event, which I attended and I thought was very well arranged. I'm not sure if there are any other councillors who went to that. But I didn't actually see anyone with them. I should have tried to find them. So this is my amendment. I don't have an issue with thanking them for providing the support, but I think it's really important that we do support the groups in particular that supported our civic and citizenship award ceremonies, and I view this as including them as well. So I'm just expanding the motion to be more inclusive than just the 26th of January events that were held.
I've got a question regarding the amendment. Yeah. I'm just asking whether or not it should say congratulating them on their excellent organisation for the long weekend and providing them with the community to celebrate this important weekend.
Okay, yeah, the long weekend. Yeah. Instead of day, yes.
Do you accept that variation?
Yeah,
I accept it. Questions or debate? Councillor Sutton.
Very briefly, I'd like to debate the amendment. I think it's really important to consider also thanking those groups that were at that event on the 24th of January. It was a really beautiful event. There were so many people out on the library lawns, and the Raver band were just so well loved by the community. And I didn't actually have a sausage from the sausage sizzle from my office to CFS because I was too busy, but I would love to want to step out of them and be able to do that. I think the thing that I take away from the weekend that we just had is that we've been criticised over and over again for cancelling Australia Day, and it proves to me that we didn't cancel Australia Day. All of these groups were able to celebrate in their own way, how they wanted to, and I think that that's just as important as anything we've done. So I do think this is a good amendment. I think it's a more inclusive amendment, and I'll be supporting it.
Thank you. Ms. Bacon, now, what else is in this paper? And to the amendment. Councillor
Grant. Yeah, I'll speak. Thank you, Presiding Member. Yeah, I think, thank Councillor Munch for this. I think that's a conciliatory amendment. I think it's much more inclusive to acknowledge all the activities that happened on the long weekend, all of them celebrating Australia Day. Yeah, and I don't think we should acknowledge any one particular sector of the community, so yeah, I support the amendment. I think it's a very good one.
Councillor Gill.
Am I allowed to speak to the amendment?
Yes, yes.
I'll not really be supporting this amendment. Australia Day is held on the 26th of January. It is declared as a public holiday as the 26th of January. It doesn't make it a long weekend, but if you're having an event that is not on the 26th of January, it is not an Australia Day event. And so it should not be included as part of this motion.
This side is spoken. This side. I think the point that Councillor Gill made is very relevant. With people that the private community groups who celebrated on the 26th, celebrated Australia Day on the 26th. They were inclusive, as I mentioned earlier on, that we had Indigenous people attend the Rump family. They were invited and only two happy to. In fact, one of them took in a flag waving ceremony we had and there they done. So I'm putting that they might do something. We should keep to the original motion. And so earlier, if Councillor Nudge wished to acknowledge the wider groups, quite welcome to move a motion that we dealt with this one to do exactly that. And I see this is blended or weakened the intent of my original motion to think the community groups have organised this Friday Day celebration. That closes the spoken. Councillor Nudge. Sorry, that's an amendment.
Thank you. Yeah, look, do I have to write a little one amendment? It's not that I think.
That's fine. Now put the amendment to the vote. All those in favour of the amendment, please signify. All those against, please signify. The amendment is carried.
For the division.
Pulling the division. Now put the little amendment. So the amendment now becomes the motion. Now, who's speaking?
Yes, the motion is
as motion as printed.
Yeah, so any votes who have not spoken to the original motion.
The original motion. So if you've spoken the amendment, you can speak.
Can I speak?
Councillor Hux, do you wish to speak to the amendment which is now the motion? No. Still, Boyd, Grant.
I support the motion.
So, the debate is closed.
No. Yeah, they're open.
Speaking of the file. All those in favour of the amendment, which is the motion now. 26, those against. 1, is there the motion carried?
For the division.
And vision. Those in favour, please stand. Councillor Boyd, Sherwood, Brown, Baxter, Large, and Hudson Scott, those against. Thank you. Any further motions without notice? Want to move on to reports. They're being circulated. Thank you, Councillor Selwood. Any further? Councillor Boyd?
Yeah. Sorry, I should have got this right. I attended the women's finish of the race in the Sterling on the 19th. And to tell you the truth, I thought that what we provided for guests was a little bit lackluster. I've been to numerous TDU and events, and it was really nothing special. And I almost felt a little bit disappointed that I brought special guests along with me, because we've had more special guests treatment lately, previously. However, the event itself was fantastic. It was a hot but really great day.
I just make a quick comment regarding the handmade Christmas markets at Fabric. Yes. I spoke to a lot of people who were visiting that event that I hadn't met before, and they had come from all over the state. There were people from the Barossa, there were people from down south, and they've obviously made their way all that way to Fabric to come to the market. So I think it was a really successful event. I was there for about an hour, and there were so many people everywhere. I just wanted council to know that it was a really successful event that was drawing in a lot of people from other regions.
That's exactly what it's designed to do. Thank you for that. Any members' reports for the committee representative?
Sorry, I'm not. Previous item. Just can you cut and paste Council Boyd's one important thing to it and the women's finish as well, as I said, as well, and it was a really good event. It's the first event of the women's race that I attended. I thought it was pretty good. Just a comment about Councillor Boyd's comment. I think since we resolved to not serve alcohol at events, the Tour Down Under marquee events have changed slightly. The first time I came to, we did have alcohol. So it's a bit different. But I think it's the right property to do it, particularly events where elected members are.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
I don't drink alcohol anyway, so.
I think that was, in fact, I think the commander, we didn't give them all the money they asked for, and so we appointed cut our box with Stephen. Okay, moving on.
Can I just add one more thing?
No,
it really was great. It was a great day. But I also attended Fabric for the night before the markets opened, so there was a lot of preparation and had a good look around and walked through the new store, which is absolutely fantastic. And the girls working in the store are just brilliant. They learn their stuff. They're like curators, not just staff. And I think that the whole project is going to be a resounding success, and it's really engaged in the community. So I think that there needs to be positive feedback regarding all that is happening at Fabric.
Thank you. Well, I guess all that information will come after we do the 12-month is a bit successful. Now, no members of the board of committee, CEO.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Joe, member. My focus over the last couple of weeks has been on our budget deliberation process. So we're getting prepared for that. There will be a number of sessions around that. Carbon reduction initiatives in line with our strategic plan. So we'll be bringing something to members consideration shortly. And another thing. Ashton will be coming your way from a special workshop as well. We need to make a decision.
And we start passing the hat around.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. So, thank you. But I'm happy to take any questions on those items.
Thank you. Ticket in lock up. Right, thank you, CEO. Reports to committees, council citizen panel members. The 4th of December. been circulated for 19 Councillor Lunt. Seconded, Councillor Selwood, all those in favour. Councillor Parry, minutes of the meeting of 11th of December. Same, Councillor Lunt, Councillor Boyd, all those in favour. Councillor Shannon, unanimously, carried unanimously. And last slide, the 8th of January, minutes of the 8th of January, Councillor Lunt. Seconded, Councillor Selwood, all those in favour. Carried unanimously. Order committee, there are none. And the minutes of the CEO performance panel of the 18th of December. Mr. Turley. Carried unanimously. No minutes from the Boundary Change Committee. And we'll move to confidential items. And now, got 8:45. Do you want to, I mean, a 5 minute break?
No, let's push through.
Push through. Okay.
Well, we actually need to have a break.
Right.
We don't have a break.
5 minutes. Okay. Be back at 8:50 by morning.
I don't think we have a forum. Yeah, because if one of us go, we don't have a forum. Okay. We'll run around and get the people that are here with that.
We're all here.
Yeah.
Well, we'll resume our meeting. Item 19.1.
Can't we haven't got a forum?
Just 19.1, recovery unpaid rates, exclusion of the public. I'd like to move if you do that. Councillor Grant.
As printed.
Councillor Selwood. All those in favour. Harry. Tom, can you switch off it? You can close the door.